Good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Coder, episode 27 for December 18th. This is the last one for 2017. Wow, we've been with you a little over a year, and it's so fun for me to see the people that are calling in and sending in questions and everything. So that's one of the perks of my job. I get to see all the questions. And I try to make them available to all of you as quickly as possible. So, good morning, Rucha. I'm going to jump right in and send you off the first question.
Let's start.
All righty. And, of course, all the questions that we actually get to, the person who asked non-anonymously, I will put their name in a little bin on my desk and stir them up as we're talking, and someone will win a Coffee with the Coder mug at the end of the episode. So this first question comes from Pennsylvania. And Annette is asking, it's kind of involved, so let me just throw out the whole question, and Rucha, you may want me to take a little piece of it at a time.
So yeah, Annette, I think that's
okay. She says, I was wondering if you have expertise in the use of the hospital-based clinic model. She says, I'm specifically looking for some guidance on the use of HCPCS code G0463, which is hospital outpatient clinic visit for assessment and management of a patient. According to what I've read, physician documentation is not enough to support the use of this code. So here's what she's looking on guidance for.
Mm-hmm.
First, what documentation is required to support the use of the code, and what are the best practices in documentation? Second, who do hospitals have completing the information? Is it a medical assistant, an RN, someone else? And third, if we bill this G0463 code, can we also bill PT, OT, STE eval, physical therapy, occupational therapy, speech therapy, evaluation, or treatment codes on the same day and get reimbursed for them? And so she's asking for any advice or resources according to that particular issue.
All right. So the first question she asked is, what documentation is required to support the use of this code? And recently, we found that it is not appropriate to bill an outpatient clinic visit code for the routine care associated with the diagnostic or therapeutic procedure. There should be documentation supporting the nursing or physician work above and beyond a test service. Keep in mind, G0463 is for the facility portion of the service and not the professional service. So here's some of the information that we got from the NovriTest website in our review. Do you want to ask me the questions, or do you want me to just...
Oh, yes, yes. Novitas says, the first question they are addressing, as an outpatient hospital facility, how would we most accurately code our ED, our emergency department, and clinic visits?
Okay. So effective January 1st, 2014, you report G0463, the hospital outpatient clinic visit for assessment and management of a patient, for payment under the Outpatient Prospective Payment System, or OPPS, for outpatient hospital clinic visits. The current procedural terminology, or CPT codes 99201 to 99205 and 99211 and to 99215, are no longer recognized for payment under OPPS.
Okay, and then they're also talking about when is it appropriate to add a modifier 25 to an E&M code?
Mm-hmm. So you append modifier 25 to a separately identifiable E&M service provided on the same day as the diagnostic and or therapeutic procedure. For example, if a patient reports for pulmonary function testing in the morning and attends a hypertension clinic in the afternoon, you would report modifier 25 with the E&M code for the hypertension clinic visit to indicate a separately identifiable service provided on the same date as the pulmonary function testing. This allows reimbursement for both services.
Okay. And then, of course, they remind us, I think, at every one of these steps that we use the G0463 and not the CPT codes.
Yes.
But another question they addressed was, when we do pulmonary function testing, there is a significant amount of time that's spent on educating the patient, preparing the patient, and other such things. Would it be appropriate to bill an E&M code to cover the costs associated with that testing?
So you wouldn't necessarily need that, because the routine care associated with diagnostic or therapeutic procedures, such as education, preparation, and ongoing nursing care, it's included in the reimbursement associated with the procedure code for the testing. So it's not appropriate to bill an outpatient clinic visit code for the routine care associated, because it's automatically assumed in the code.
Okay. And then here's another nuance on that one. Our outpatient department provides services like audiology testing, IV administration of medications, and radiology procedures. So these services require additional time and resources like monitoring vitals, reassessment, patient education, preparation, and extensive documentation. Is it appropriate to bill a low-level E&M code to cover the cost of these services?
Unfortunately, no. The resources in question are part of a routine care expected when administering the diagnostic test or procedure, and therefore the cost would be included in the procedure code used for the service. For example, if the patient receives IV chemotherapy, it's standard to monitor vital signs, reassess, and provide education. Therefore, it would be inappropriate to bill for these services separately with an outpatient clinic visit code.
Okay, so now we're going right back to her original question because it had lots of parts. Mm-hmm. What are the best practices in documentation?
So physicians, nursing, and other ancillary staff should document the care provided and the services performed, and this should clearly state the care provided separately to other billable services. You want to make sure you tell them exactly what you did, why you did it, and what your expectations from it. So you want really good documentation to support the code.
Okay. And so this is very similar to that. The next piece is who do hospitals have completing the documentation?
So,
do they use a medical assistant? Do they use an RN?
We couldn't find a specific rule identifying the requirement that a certain individual create the documentation, but it's usually, more often than not, it's the RN that would fill out the documentation and have it supported by physician statements.
Okay. So then if you bill the GO-463, can you also bill physical therapy, occupational therapy, speech therapy, evaluation, and or treatment codes on the same day and expect to get paid?
Well, after we reviewed the hospital NCCI and PTP edits, we saw where there were bundling edits for physical therapy and occupational therapy evaluations, but not speech. These services can be reported with the modifier if they meet the definition for modifier use of the 25. We randomly checked the modalities, not all the modalities, but some of the modalities with constant attendance, supervised and therapeutic procedures, and found they were not bundled.
Oh, well, that's helpful. So thank you for that question, Annette. I believe we have time to jump into this next one. Let's go over to Florida, where Leanne, she's one of our previous winners. She says, on the most recent coding clinic diabetes guideline in reference to diabetes mellitus with our rehab facility is instructing us to not follow that guideline and only code as a diabetic manifestation if the physician specifically links to the diabetes mellitus in the condition. I'm not comfortable coding against guidelines. What are your thoughts? Are a lot of rehab facilities not applying this guideline? And can we as coders disregard it?
Ooh, so this is interesting because I would definitely not recommend ignoring this guideline, and certainly as a company we don't. The ICD-10 guidelines for association of diabetes with manifestations is used in the rehab setting and notes that any manifestations a physician documents the patient to have that are listed under the diabetes with within the ICD-10 index, they can automatically be associated to the diabetes and the specific documentation, in the specific manifestation if it's within the documentation. The only time this wouldn't be reported is if the physician clearly states why the diabetes and specific diagnosis or symptom are not linked. We definitely don't recommend ignoring this guideline because it could cause alarm review or it could potentially have financial impact.
Ah, there's a reason for those guidelines being there, right?
Yep.
And that's very important in this line of work. You really need to read the fine print. So thank you. We're bumping up against the end of our 10 minutes, so instead of jumping into another question that might take 5 minutes, I'm going to go ahead and stir up these names on my desk and choose a winner and then tell you all what's going to happen in 2018 with Coffee with the Coder. So our winner today is, get this open. It's Annette. Thank you, Annette.
Hi,
Annette. I'll be reaching out to you, Annette in Pennsylvania, to see where to get you your mug. Excited to get your selfie and put you in the Insiders Facebook group. And what I wanted to mention is we are still doing every other Monday, but of course 2 weeks from today is January the 1st. And since the whole company will be off that day, we're going to move Coffee with the Coder to the 8th of January and then thereafter every other week. So look for episode 28 on January the 8th at 10:10 Eastern. We'll be happy to remind you of that if you'll send in your email or text asking to be reminded. Currently, the best way to get it to us is to email us your text number and ask to be put on the list. But that's working really well. The text reminder will come out about a little after 9, so within an hour. Sometimes it's 30 minutes because when we get all of them in there, it takes a few minutes to do them all. But we appreciate your coming together with us today for Coffee with the Coder number 27 and look forward to seeing you next year. Happy New Year, happy holidays.